Disintegrating because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, I'm loaded for bear today. I got to tell you that. Friday morning, the last day of summer. What do they call this? Is this the salt? This is the equinox. Isn't that what it is? Equinox, meaning equal day, equal night. I think you could probably check that up on your phone. I think we're supposed to have the same amount of sunlight today. Equal sunlight, equal dark. I think that's where equinox comes from. Happens tonight, the September 21st, first day of fall. Trees are starting to turn here in Ohio. Grass isn't growing quite as fast, which is a real benefit to those of us who are trying to keep up on our yards and other things going on. And for the second day, I was up early this morning, but I woke up today pretty lighthearted until I got on the internet and started getting prepared for the show. I'm going to try, it's Flea Flicker Friday, so I'm going to try to stay as lighthearted as I can until I get into some stuff that really isn't lighthearted. But sometimes I think I tried and tried and tried to get my wife to come and join me on the show today. I said, honey, there's a lot of people, and they don't even know you. They've never even heard from you. And she says, oh, they don't want to hear from me. So I'm going to pause a minute because she's listening right now. If somebody would like to hear from my wife at some point, somebody say amen. I'll just wait and see because I know she's listening.
Amen, 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 amen,
amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
All right, there's three anyway, Michelle.
Come on, Michelle.
Come on, we need you to get in here and talk about what it's like to be married to me. That'd be a story in itself, wouldn't it? That'd be a story in itself. So I twisted her on. Didn't twist real hard, but I'm trying to get her on here. Hey, listen, don't forget this weekend, Mike Blake. Go to schedule real quick, Connor. I'm sorry I didn't give you a whole lot of a head start there. I have a hard time keeping up on the – Robert Klaus, you get ready to read your Keepers of Faith here a bit. I assume he's in here. See, it was kind of a ploy on my part. I thought, boy, if I can start giving Robert a chance to read, maybe he'll listen to us every day.
Yeah, I'm in here, Coach.
Yeah, I know you'd be in. You're getting fed in here anyway, aren't you, Robert? And you're sharing it and spreading it. Sure do appreciate it. Let's go to the calendar real quickly, Jared, or Connor, whoever's pulling the levers back there. Because Mike Blake's having the Ohio Salt and Light Brigade Assembly, Buckeye Lake. It's just local, all right? Anybody in the central Ohio area? Mike doesn't know how many guys are going to show up for sure, but this dude is serious about it, folks. He's serious about what he does. Mike has fixed up his own truth truck to drive to the abortion clinic. Mark Trump went over yesterday and tried to help him get some type of part put on it. They weren't able to get it done, but Mike is in. He's serious about it. And tomorrow, Saturday, 10 a.m., come and join him. Even if it's just 10 of you, whatever. Begin to, what's the scripture say again? Let us forsake not the assembling of ourselves together, even more as we see that day approaching. So, man, come and be part of it. I'm not going to run down through all the schedule, but this is important to try to, if you're in the Columbus, Ohio area, get down. Then Chad gets up and running next week, and the Faith and Freedom Conference is next week, and then the Mayberry Huddle. We got Rimfire Conference in Montana. We got people already in Montana that are buying tickets. I tried to explain this to somebody yesterday. Oh, hey, hang on. Hey, Mark, real quick, folks, listen. Bear with me a second. I'm going to right now, bear with me. I had a roofer come on yesterday. Hang on, bear with me. Oops. This guy's a believer. Not only is he a believer, he's a hardcore believer. And we talked about the show, and he talked about some other things. And I said, man, you got to watch the show. And so I'm sending him an email or a text message right now. Tune in now. We'll see if he does. Let's see. Cool. So it's great. They're everywhere. They're everywhere. These Christians are everywhere. They're everywhere. And I'm more excited today just about what's going on. See, a lot of people are depressed about what's going on. I think it's just a simple calling of the herd, be honest with you. I think the lines are getting drawn more and more, and I see fewer committed Christians than I've ever seen. It's very, very obvious, but I'm seeing more deeply committed Christians than I've ever seen. So it's okay. Let the Lord separate that stuff out. I got a great stuff today. Anybody want to throw anything on the table before I have Robert come in and read it for today? I'll give you. He gave me a thumbs up. And tuning in.
Yeah, a great man told me last night. He asked, and he was like thoughtful about it. But we all need to think about this. What if we are the remnant? What if we are the remnant? The few who
are. What if we really are?
What if we really are?
Mm-hmm.
Not only do we got a job to do, but what an honor we are to be here. Not that we should honor ourselves or anything, but it kind of struck me. What if we are the remnant, right?
Well, we got a job to do. It's our duty, right? It's what I talked about yesterday, right? What if we really are God's A-team? We're it. We're really it. Not those guys who went to cemetery and all that stuff. We are God's A-team, and we don't step up to the plate. And we're going to have to stand before him and say, well, gee, Lord, I didn't know. I didn't know. I would have done more if I'd just known you had all power, I'd have done more. If I'd have just known, right? It's Mark. It's a serious, serious responsibility. I take it very, very seriously. I do.
So
and that's why I try to wake up and encourage others. Yeah, go ahead.
As it gets heavier, the responsibility and the work, it's not easy work we're doing, Coach. It's not easy what these men are showing up to do all over the country. It's not easy work. But what we're seeing are people falling off the wagon.
Yep.
Is it because of the effort? The effort exceeds their devotion to Christ, that they won't stop sucking their thumbs whenever they get ultra sensitive. I mean, what's going on that people are dropping out the way they are?
Well, that's a great question.
I think it's because of the work. I think it's simply because of the work and effort.
Let's open that up.
Hey, Coach.
Why are people falling off the turnip truck here? Yeah, Alan.
I was just going to say, we're God's sleeper cells, Coach. God's sleeping cells. Think about it. Satan's got sleeper cells. You know, if he does, God's got to have them too, brother.
I'm one of them. I'm one of them, and I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, right? I'm not ashamed of it. Why are guys falling off the turnip truck? Anybody know out there? I don't want to spend the whole show on it, but it's Flea Flicker Friday. Throw it out there. and hang on. Is it my job to go back and turn the tractor around and go pick him back up? Is that my job? Because Jesus said he'd leave the 99 to go get the one. Is it my job to go pick up, go find out how those guys fell off the turnip truck? Somebody help me.
Sin and selfishness, Coach. Sin and selfishness.
I think, too, it's lack of wisdom. People don't know how to do what they're supposed to do. They fall off the truck. They don't have the wisdom, the skill. If you're going to warfare, you need to know how to fight. Use your weapons. Yeah. We don't have the wisdom we need.
Yeah, we don't want to pick a fight we don't think we can win, do we, Robert?
That's right.
I understand that, because with all the stuff we're doing up there at Sky High, I feel totally and completely inadequate. I really do. And so, like yesterday when the roofer showed up, I'm embarrassed because I don't really know what to tell him, right? And so I think that's where a lot of men are. Once you get deeper into this battle, into this fight that's going on, once you get in deeper, it takes greater skills to be able to do it. And truthfully, a lot of men aren't skilled to be able to fight. I don't think they're. I never wanted to give the indication that I thought they were cowardly or fear, whatever. I never ever wanted anybody to think that, because the reason why. Hey, this is the best thing going, man. What we're trying to do here is the best thing going. Come on and jump on the turnip truck with us. And ride with us and coach us and help us and point it out where we're getting wrong. Please, come on. Don't point out that we went down a bumpy road. Don't do that. Don't point out that we went down a road you've never been down before. Don't, Coach. Don't get mad that sometimes we went in reverse. Don't do that. Get on and ride with us and help us. Yeah, Larry.
You know, let me address your question about, is it our job to go look for that one sheep that strayed away from the flock? I believe if my memory serves me, that, you know, Jesus said that the shepherd is the one that leaves the flock, the rest of the flock, and goes out and looks for that one.
Right.
So Jesus is the shepherd of the flock. And It's his job to go find the lost one, and he does that through the leading of the Holy Spirit. Our job is, if the Holy Spirit chooses us individually or as a couple of people or as a group, to go out and find a particular lost one, then that's our job to be obedient to that. But there's nothing in that parable that says that somebody goes out and just says, hey, somebody's lost out here. Where you at? Let me figure you out. No, that parable talks about a particular sheep that was part of the flock that strayed away.
That's right. Now, listen, folks, listen to me. Some of them willfully did it. They're not lost. They just got off the wagon, right? They're not lost. They just got off the wagon. Some are secretly listening to the show. They're secretly listening. And I'm just going to say this. If you fall off the turnip truck, okay, God bless you. Who are you assembled with? Who are you assembled with? I hope you're assembled with somebody, because that's what the scripture says we're supposed to do. Forsake not the assembling of ourselves. I don't want to beat on this horse, okay? Robert, come on in here. Go ahead. Come on in now.
I was just going to say, Coach, it's a lack of being filled with the Holy Ghost, Coach. That's the main weakness right there. If you're not filled with the Holy Ghost, that's a major weakness in this battle.
I think it's a major weakness, but I'm not going to insinuate that guys have fallen off the turnip truck don't have the Holy Spirit. That'd be really, really presumptuous on my part.
Hey, Coach, I'd like to add another point to this, too, is Satan's job in the last days is to wear out the saints, and that's easily can pick us off if we're not grouped together like we are here and doing things and functioning together as a body. It's like when we become these lone soldiers and go out and try to do God's battle, and he could pick us off. But, there's safety in numbers.
Yep, we know this, Ray. You don't have to be my twin in order to be my brother. Huh? Let's cut each other some slack. Robert, come on. September 20th. Robert Klaus, Keepers of the Faith. I always forget the other part of that. Keepers of the Faith, Finders of Truth, Keepers of the Faith. This is Robert Klaus's devotional that he's written in his book, which you can get at Amazon. And September 20th, the last day of summer. Robert, give us a miracle here, brother, what you wrote today.
I was thinking about verse Colossians 4:5. Paul says, conduct yourselves with wisdom toward outsiders, making the most of your time. And we need to have wisdom, whether it's whatever it is. In the case of evangelism, we need wisdom to know how to evangelize, be filled with the Spirit, but we need wisdom. So here it is, September 20th. It says, quote by Spurgeon, what are all your kings, all your nobles, all your diadems, when you put them together, compared with the dignity of winning souls to Christ?
Amen on that.
And so now we're going into a little bit of wisdom on this. If all Christians would withdraw their money and support from the world's idolatrous systems, they would surely fall. If they would submit to God and resist the devil, he would flee.
Amen.
Jesus told his disciples to shake the dust off their feet before those who did not want to hear their message. Evangelistic efforts often prove futile when trying to evangelize the unrepentant who have seared consciences, hardened hearts, stubborn wills, closed minds, and blinded eyes.
I believe I wrote about that yesterday, didn't I, Robert? Didn't I write about seared consciences yesterday?
Yes, you did. Such are not interested in God's saving truth. In these cases, one can only plant a seed and pray that it may take root before the devil comes to snatch it away.
Yes, sir.
Christians should seek to evangelize those who are responsive to the Lord's drawing,
amen,
the Spirit's convicting, and God's teaching, those to whom God is granting repentance and extending his grace for salvation.
In other words, not just everybody, huh? Not just everybody we come across, Robert?
That's right. We got to be careful we don't waste time and energy and money and effort to evangelize those who are not responsive. We're wasting time to do that, really. I mean, we need to be focused on where God is working.
Now, we never know who that is till we begin to begin to serve it. Once we begin to serve it, we ought to realize quickly if the person's receiving it or not receiving it. He said, don't throw your pearl before swine. If they're not receiving it, plant the seed and move on. Quit standing there and watering it and pruning it and pounding it. Plant it and move on. The Holy Spirit's the one that gives the increase.
That's right. That's right, Coach. In the last paragraph, it says, one may often say, I am too tired to evangelize. But God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power and love and discipline. God desires to work in you, both to will and to work, for his good pleasure. God is in the business of transforming timid spirits into brave hearts.
Amen.
God is not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. To those who are willing, God transforms lost gutter sinners into heavenly saints.
Amen. That's me.
Haters of Christ into a fragrance of Christ.
Amen.
Religious hypocrites into spiritual giants. Worldly captives into heavenly conquerors. Lovers of darkness into lovers of light.
Yes.
Losers into winners. The downcast into the upbeat. Morally bankrupt into holy treasures. And stalkers of darkness into bearers of light.
Robert, that's it, man. See, we deny the power. But what's the scripture say? Having a form of godliness, but what? Denying the power thereof. What does this say to do, Larry? Bring them into the church? Is that what we're supposed to do with those, Larry, who deny the power thereof? That's not what it says, is it, Larry? What does it say? Huh? What does it say, folks? Why, it says those who have a form of godliness and deny the power thereof, from such turn away. They drain your energy. Yeah, Rog. Is that you? I thought it was you. All right, quiet today on Flea Flicker Friday. Quiet today. I got some good stuff for you. Can I start with a lighthearted thing? Oh, did I not? Yeah, go to my Facebook page real quickly, Jared or Connor. I just watched this. I'm lighthearted today. Is it okay? I'm lighthearted, so it's all good. We're gonna get into some deep stuff. I want to start you off with a good old laugh here, first of all. Go to my Facebook page, Connor. Jared, I'm sorry, I didn't give you much heads up. I saw this, and this just was too good. I had to play it today. It's 2 minutes. Oh, no, keep going. Oh, that's good, too. Going down there. Hey, stop right there a minute. Hey, folks, listen. Go back there. Hey, if you're interested in going to Fort Myers, go back up a little bit. This is a little advertisement. My daughter and her husband own a condo on Fort Myers Beach, and it's never rented in like September, October. It's $500 a week. You can have a two-bedroom condo that sleeps six. It's got a pool and a hot tub and a walk to the – it's beautiful. Hey, if you're looking for a vacation, Abby and Morgan got a great place. It's only $500 a week. You know, a hotel is $150. So anybody out there in the queue wants a little getaway, this is a great place to do it. Okay, so down at the bottom here, worth 2 minutes. This is just too good, okay? This is just too good. Go ahead and play that, Connor.
And I'll pay you. You won't have.
Start from the beginning. Here we go.
Tuition free.
Ladies and gentlemen, the candidates.
Does adulthood dismay you? Hug me and I'll pay you. You won't have to grow up, it's true. All your bills will be paid. Your adulthood delayed. And I'll give all this money to you. Bob commuted to college for discount. So large debts he would not accrue. Lived at home, did some chores. Now he'll also pay yours.
Wait, I didn't agree.
Cause
to.
I'll give all his money to you.
I already paid off my loans.
All this money.
Now wait just 1 second.
You will get from Bob.
I lived in a basement for 4 years.
All this money. If I get this job.
My school didn't have a rock climbing wall.
All your work wages risen, your debts all forgiven.
child care will be paid for too. One free parental leave just takes one vote for me, and I'll give all this money to you. All Bob's money.
Oh, give me a break.
I will give to you.
This is really getting ridiculous.
All Bob's money.
I drink tap water.
If I win, it's true.
You know what? I'm leaving.
All Bob's money.
That's it, isn't it? That's America. That's America today. All Bob's money I will give to you, huh? Amen. Somebody come on in here. And we wink and nod at it. We're okay with it. Violates the scriptures. We're okay with it. Man works, he doesn't eat. Very, very, very clear. Very clear. Cool. Nobody got a comment on that? I thought that would elicit a comment or two. Let me get
funny.
Let me get some mirth out of the way here real quickly, okay? Another one I got to show you. This one just, I just love this. Al Sharpton. Click on Al Sharpton. We're starting to fight back a little bit, folks. We're starting to fight back, and it's good to watch it fight back. So here is, no, wrong one. No, wrong, it says Al Sharpton. I think so. It does anyway. Unless, of course, I messed up again. There we go. There we go. Okay, folks. This is Matt Gaetz. Got Al Sharpton under oath. You tell me this isn't what we need more. See, we're most of us are afraid to say anything to a black person, especially a white guy. You're not allowed to say anything mean or harsh or question a black person. Maybe we're growing a pair here. So here's Matt Gaetz with Al Sharpton. This is classic. Go ahead.
The Reverend Al Sharpton has referred to members of the Jewish faith as blood-sucking Jews and Jew bastards. Is that true, or did you not say those things?
They are patently untrue.
Have you ever referred to members of the Jewish faith as white interlopers or diamond merchants?
No, sir. I referred to one in Harlem, an individual who I didn't even know was Jewish, as an interloper.
Have you ever referred to African-Americans who disagree with you as yellow and then the N-word?
I don't know that. I've referred to people as names. I don't know if it's because they disagree with me.
I ain't having no march. I believe in fighting. Well, fight then. Ain't nobody holding you. I'll off the man. We'll off him. Plenty of crackers walking around here tonight. Did you say those words?
I do not recall.
Have you said, I'm in hell already, I'm in Israel?
Yeah.
Have you ever referred to African Americans who disagree with you as Negro militants?
I didn't know that was a derogatory statement.
You referred to people as Greek homos, didn't you?
I do not recall how I referred to anyone.
Mr. Sharpton, have you ever referred to African Americans who disagree with you as cocktail sip Negroes?
I have.
Hey, we need more of this kind of stuff, don't we? That only the truth will make you free. So God bless Matt Gaetz. I was surprised to find out that guy's only like 37 years old. We need more guys like that. Somebody come on in. Flea Flicker Friday. Jump in there. I got more stuff. I want to hear from you.
You should have asked Al Sharpton, how long have you had dementia?
Well, wasn't he lying under oath? Wasn't it when he said he didn't say that? When we have video of it, wasn't he lying under oath? Of course, he'll get away with it. No,
he's starting to sound like Biden with his memory. Yeah.
Well, he knew full well, right? He knew full well. Wow. Cool stuff, huh? Anything else? Okay, I'm going to gradually today. I got a lot of videos today. Okay, I'm going to gradually take this to a little darker area if we can. If it's okay with you, Connor, you had it up there. The delusion of seminary. David Reynolds sent me a couple things today, and I'm using them because I think they're good. And this is amazing because it's a video and it has 525 views. So it's just made. And it's the stuff we talk about here all the time. The Coach Dave Live, what? Hey, we have to be free and independent Christian thinkers, all right? Free and independent Christian thinkers. Just because you think something, believe something, does not make it true. And just because you don't believe it doesn't make it true. We are after it. We're on a, as Russ would say, a relentless pursuit of the truth, although we really are after one. We really are. So I got this video. David Reynolds sent this to me today. I'd like to give a tip of the hat to the guys that sent it in here. And hang on, Jared. I'm trying to find my own spot here. I got all messed up here. This is on. Remember how we talk about controlled seminary control and pastors controlling? And this, look, 587 views just posted today. The delusions in Bible college. Go ahead and play this, Jared.
There is this delusion, this deception that is in college that no one can know about God more than the Hebrew teacher. The Hebrew teacher knows the roots of words. They know the original language. They understand the context of the scripture. And when they read it, they see with the original author's intention, supposedly. And so as a student who is listening to a professor that actually knows the Hebrew, you start to think, I don't understand God as much as this person. I remember people at college would tell me things like, I just can't wait until I know Hebrew or Greek. And once I know it, I'll be able to bring it back to my congregation and preach from the pulpit, having, you know, the English on the right and the original language on the left. I'll be able to break down words for people and their eyes will be open because they will know what the author was originally saying. There is this delusion that you cannot know God until you really know the original language. That is not true. This is a big deception in college, and it is actually to keep people from just obeying the Lord and going with him. It's to keep people coming back to the school, to the teachers, to the pastors. It's to keep people coming back to the organizations. Jesus does not need organizations in order to function and to work. In fact, the Lord Jesus speaks every single language. You don't have to be educated to get revelation from the Holy Spirit of God. He will speak to you and he will teach you. In fact, the more educated you are in this world, the harder it will be to know who Jesus really is. You'll become more indoctrinated in that Antichrist system that appears to be so knowledgeable of the truth. Remember in the very beginning, the deception was the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And when Adam and Eve ate from it, they knew the difference between good and evil, and it separated them from God. If we want to know the truth, we have to get to know Jesus. I remember in college, people just really being ashamed of the name of Jesus in particular. It was fine to use the name God or Lord or Messiah or something other than Jesus. The name of Jesus, people are shy of or offended by. It's not inclusive of other religions. It's childish. I remember I was reading this one book that was part of a class I was taking, and the author despised the name of Jesus in particular. That author said it made him think of a junior high girl who has a crush on a boy and just keeps on saying that boy's name. This author was trying to be inclusive of Islam and apparently other religions that have nothing to do with Jesus, but this author wanted to be Christian. I found all throughout college, Bible college, it was full of people who wanted to be educated, but have nothing to do with the truth of Jesus, nothing to do with his name. If we are offended by the name of Jesus, there is no hope for our salvation. If we are offended by him and if we do not love him, he will reject us on that final day. If we stand up for the name of Jesus, he will stand up for us and his angels also. But if we're ashamed of him, he will also be ashamed of us on our final day. Do we love Jesus? Do we preach his name and stand with him? Or are we like the educated who are too good for the name of Jesus? They would rather hold on to their education, onto their knowledge. Where are we? Are we with Jesus or with the educated?
Amen.
May the grace of Jesus be with you. There.
What was it Jesus said somewhere along the line? What didn't he say? If you acknowledge me before men, I'll acknowledge you before my Father. But if you don't acknowledge me before men, I will not acknowledge you before my Father. And haven't we said over here over and over and over what? There's something about the name of Jesus. Why do they just want us to say God, 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 God? Which God? Which God are we talking about? Now, Connor, I just sent you something. I want you to pull it up right now because you're not going to believe this, folks. You're not going to believe this.
Hey, Coach.
Union Seminary. Yeah, go ahead, Mark. Go ahead.
Well, I don't want to interrupt the flow, but we really need those verses you shared in Hebrew.
I'll see if we can look at the hermeneutics of it, right? Isn't that the truth? The guys in the pulpit are the experts. They have no Holy Spirit, but they're the experts in Greek and Hebrew. And so Union Seminary, one of the oldest seminaries in America. A lot of great people have come out of Union Seminary. I believe it's in New York City. I could be wrong, but I believe it's in New York City. Are you sitting down, friends? You sitting down today? Pull it up there for us, Connor. Union Seminary. I'm not making this up, friends. They had a gathering where the people – look, okay, go down a little bit. Today in chapel, we confessed to plants. Folks, this isn't some place out in the – this isn't some place in California. This is Union Seminary. Today, together, we held our grief, our joy, our regret, our hope, our guilt and sorrow in prayer, offering the plants – offering them to the beings who sustain us, but whose gift we too often fail to honor. What do you confess to the plants in your life? You think I'm making this up, don't you? You think this can't possibly be true. What is true? A professor at Union Seminary, look at the kids, gathered them. Thanks, Mike. Dr. Spalding said they've been in apostasy for 100 years or more. Thanks, Doc. Huh? You think it's not creeping into the church? You think we're not in trouble here with what's going on? You think that the need and the desire to stand up and speak the name of Jesus has ever been more necessary than what we see today? Not everyone who says unto me, Lord, Lord, are in any ever.
1919.
Try it again. You broke up.
1919, Tavistock. It must infiltrate the universities and the seminary.
Well, we need to do a teaching on Tavistock Institute for sure. That's popping up more and more. I just kind of, it's going to take a week to do that. You know, it's going to take a week.
Reminds me of Romans 1:25. It says, "For they the depraved, for they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature." Rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever.
Amen, buddy. Amen.
It's Mother Earth worship, Coach. That climate change, that whole mess. Mother Earth worship.
Mother Earth worship, not Father God, right? Mother Earth. I got a couple great things I want to pull up here. Let me just pause right here. See if somebody's got something pounding on their heart they want to talk about. Come on in if you do. Anything good today? Blue Flicker Friday.
That's why they say, let us pray. Let us.
That's what Mark put in the chat here. That's he likes dressing on his plants. It's amazing. Isn't that amazing?
I just want to say that for a long time, I've always thought that God gets a little bit offended every time somebody says, Mother Nature.
Yeah, that's right, brother. And no Mother Mark, Nature, is there?
That would be lettuce, guacamole, bacon and tomato.
Dave.
10,000 unemployed comedians, and you guys are trying to be joking.
Yeah, I know. Go ahead, Ken. Amateur night. Okay.
Amateur night.
Hey, Dave, I wanted to kind of backtrack here a little bit on the beginning of the show, please.
All right.
About the lost sheep or whatever it's out there. Okay.
Yep.
If we, I'm not saying anything or whatever, but. If someone drops off, okay, I'll at least call them and say, hey man, did I offend you? Did I hurt your feelings? Did I have an opportunity to make a correction on it if they misunderstood me, or if they understood me correctly, and that's it, and that's they're mad because of my position, then that's fine. Okay, but if they're mad because of the misunderstanding, then I want to at least take that opportunity to clear that up. And then if they don't come back, well, the rest is on the Lord then. So I wouldn't say we just need to dump them. You know, we didn't give them a chance. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I'm not interested in dumping anybody, man.
But I'm saying, you know, if we're just going to rely on, well, the Lord will bring them back, brother. Okay, well, we're all people. And so I think we need to take at least give an opportunity for that person to explain themselves or whatever. And then that's it.
Amen.
They come back, they come back. They don't. That's okay.
Yep. Amen. And listen.
Hey, Coach.
What? Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah, I got a question from actually about yesterday's show. So we're talking about overcoming and the cowardly perishing in the lake of fire. So how do you know, as you're living your Christian life, how do you know that you really have overcome and that you're not among the cowardly? I'll be borrowed, of course, being, you know, lined up against the wall and threatened to be executed, you know, if you don't deny Christ or something like that. Yeah.
Boy, that's a great question. It really is a great question. But at the root of it is this, Gary. Do you fear the Lord or do you fear man? I think that's at the very heart of it. Which one do you really, really fear? And unfortunately, most of us, I think we fear man. Why? Because man's tangible. He's right in front of us. There's picking up and there's consequences to it. And unfortunately, we don't understand the consequences of denying God, of not standing up, of not, as he said, confessing him before men. We don't understand those consequences because we've never stood before the Lord and seen what that looks like. Go ahead, Chad.
Well, I was going to say I agree with that. But see, I think you know when you're being a coward. Because in your conscience, you say, man, I ought to say something. And you don't, or you do. And so in those moments when you keep being weighted down, like, I should go over to South Carolina with Larry, or I should go and go down to Florida with Alan, okay? And I should go there and make a stand with those people. Something's not right. Something's not right. And so if you don't take a stand, or somebody's talking at your job, or your retirement center, or whatever, wherever you are, and they're taking a derogatory stand against Christ, and you don't correct it, well, I believe then that's it right there. You know better, where you know better in your spirit. That's what I'm thinking.
So I think this. I think it's a good point, Chad. Again, that's Revelation 21:8. Connor, I don't know if you can pull that up there real quickly because we did talk about it yesterday. Man, I've taken a little bit of a softer approach to it because, man, the last 2 days were pretty. They're pretty intense, man. They're pretty intense. I want you to see this. Revelation 21:7. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving, cowards go first. There's no doubt about it. And the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And I would say this, Gary, and I would say this, Chad, the fearful and unbelieving, that is a lifestyle. That is a lifestyle of people living in fear and living in unbelief. Because as I said yesterday, fear is nothing more than unbelief. The two are, they're twins. Fear and unbelief go together. And I think there'll be situations in our lives, as you guys just mentioned, where you don't respond. The Lord's telling you to, and you don't respond. I don't think the Lord takes a mark and says, well, that's it. Chad's out of it. He could have stood up. I don't think it. But I think if you living a lifestyle, if you are serving fear rather than the Lord, if you're serving doubt rather than belief as a lifestyle, I think in the Hebrew, I think that's what it means. Or maybe it's the Greek. One of those, I think that's what it means.
Hey, Coach. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of man is the beginning of foolishness. And to relate the parallel of that shepherd who goes and finds the one sheep, Jesus was speaking in a parable that they understood. This was about a sheep that would keep leaving the pen. Okay, so you keep going after him. It said when the shepherd, the truth story behind it, when the shepherd would find that sheep that keeps wandering, he would break its leg and put it around its neck so it would never leave him again.
That's true, brother. I never thought of that. That is true, isn't it? He'd break his leg and carry it. Need some leg breakers.
Coach, yeah, let me add to that. We also have to train ourselves, too. We can't expect to have a warrior spirit or step forward into the arena when we've done nothing mentally or physically to be able to give us the strength to do that.
That's right, Bobby. And let's be honest, very few of us have been trained to fight this. Very few of us have. And if everybody in the queue would be honest with me, hang on just a second. If everybody in the queue would be honest with me, you've probably never had anybody ever take you to the streets till you got involved here, because nobody's ever taken you there. You don't know how to react. You don't know what you're supposed to do. So the problem lies with the leadership again, in my humble opinion. Come on in, Jack.
Saturday morning, after having spent the previous evening with you, I generally, in most respects, do not fear man nor beast. But I went to a meeting, and my alarm bells were going off, and I knew I should say something, and I didn't. I really choked. I was not an overcomer on Saturday morning. It won't happen again in the same atmosphere, because I know what I should have done, what I should have said. I repented of it. So it's not a lifestyle of fear and cowardice. It's just every once in a while, it's a failure. We fail. We're human. That's our humanity.
A lot of it, Jack, is our training in decorum, right? Say, is this the right place to say this? Do I really want to say this? And so you want to have the proper decorum. So we have to be careful of when we're having proper decorum and when we're denying the Lord. It took me two days
to figure out what I should have said, how I should have worded it, and now I know. But I didn't then, and I really choked, and it was really bad. I really stupid, and it was terrible. So it's not going to happen again.
I know Hebrew and Greek, so let me give you absolution, okay?
Okay.
I've studied both Hebrew. And my favorite language is Pig Latin. Pig Latin. That's my favorite. I learned that one. I don't even know where. Right? Y'all with me? Come on, man. This is real. Let's get real about really what the battle is and what we're fighting against. And Flea Flicker Friday. I got a couple other. I'm going to end on a dark note. I'm just going to give you an honor.
I thought you only taught Melungeon.
Well, Melungeon's just an excuse. Being a Melungeon's just an excuse, right? That's really what it is. Somebody said, "What a Melungeon?" Yeah. Well, go look it up. Go look it up. By the way, that is unbelievable that you would bring that up. It's unbelievable that you would bring that up. So here we go. Jared, white privilege. White privilege. I think this David Reynolds sent me this morning too as well. White privilege. Because that's the lie they're telling us, right? It's all lies. Everything we're hearing from, it's just all lies. Because he's the father of lies. And you either serve the Lord or you serve the devil. There's no demilitarized zone. You cannot serve both. Jesus told us no man can serve two masters. You can't serve the truth and serve a lie. You cannot be a news reporter and go to church and then tell lies or half-truths when you go to do your job. You cannot do both. We've let people get away with that. In fact, our churches are full of people like that. So because Joseph brought that up, I just happen to have this queued up today. Here's one of the great lies, the myth of white privilege. This is 4 minutes long. Right? White privilege. I've said this over and over and over. Nobody has any idea the struggles of my father and my grandfather and my great-grandfather, the troubles they had that we might be free here today. Well, nobody knows that. I just didn't wake up with white privilege. My white privilege, by the way, if I have any, is earned. Go ahead and play this, Connor.
For some 150 years, from the late 18th century to the early 20th, Western civilization reached its manufacturing and industrial zenith, and much of the work burdened to that end was on the backs of European children. Whether it was sharecropping, coal breaking, spindle pushing, chimney sweeping, or wire bending. In textile mills, mines, cotton fields, metal firing yards, or the cold cranberry marshes of the American Northeast, the slave labor of European children advanced the modern world into the present age with pitiless toil, fear, and blood. This period ended in the mid-20th century, but much of the wealth that the West accumulated was due to the millions of unskilled jobs these children filled. 15-hour days, no breaks, pissing your pants where you stood, all the while praying you didn't lose another finger. That is some kind of privilege. Meanwhile, the entire globe benefited as the impetus of industrialization spread across the world, bringing many cultures out of the Stone Age. But for some of you who may be skeptical, preferring statistical data and referencing, we make this case in point. The Irish slave trade began when 30,000 Irish prisoners were sold as slaves to the New World. The King James Proclamation of 1625 required Irish political prisoners to be sent overseas and sold to English settlers in the West Indies. By the mid-1600s, the Irish were the main slaves sold to the West Indies and British North America. Ireland quickly became the biggest source of human livestock for English merchantry. The majority of the early slaves to the New World were actually white. From 1641 to 52, over 500,000 Irish were killed by the English, and another 300,000 were sold as slaves. Ireland's population fell about 70% in one decade. Families were ripped apart as the British did not allow Irish dads to take their wives and children with them across the Atlantic. This led to a helpless population of homeless women and children. Britain's solution was to auction them off as well. During the 1650s, over 100,000 Irish children between the ages of 9 and 13 were taken from their parents and sold as slaves in the West Indies and to British North America, primarily Virginia and New England. In this decade, 80,000 Irish, mostly women and children, were sold to Barbados and Virginia. Another 30,000 Irish men and women were also transported and sold to the highest bidder. In 1656, Cromwell ordered that 2,000 Irish children be sent to Jamaica yearly and sold as slaves to English settlers. Many people today will avoid calling the Irish slaves what they truly were, slaves. They'll come up with terms like indentured servants to describe what occurred to the Irish. However, in most cases from the 17th, 18th, and early 19th centuries, Irish slaves were nothing more than human cattle. African slaves were very expensive during the late 1600s, about 50 sterling for a healthy young man. Irish slaves came cheap, no more than 5 sterling. If a planter branded or beat an Irish slave to death, it was never a crime. A death was a monetary setback, but far cheaper than killing a more expensive African. The English masters quickly began breeding the Irish women for both their own personal pleasure and for greater profit. Children of slaves were themselves slaves, which increased the size of the master's free workforce. Even if an Irish woman somehow obtained her freedom, her kids would remain slaves of her master. Therefore, Irish moms, even with this newfound emancipation, would seldom abandon their kids and would remain in servitude in perpetuity. So, in summation, 99.9% of Europeans living in the West are the descendants of working-class poor and slaves. There is no such thing as white privilege. And whatever things we have in our lives now, we are entitled to them, as they are the fruit of our many previous generations' blood and toil.
Let's make no mistake, too, as we often say on this show, white Anglo-Saxon Protestants. It was the gospel of Jesus Christ that brought liberty to the world. Let there be no doubt about it, right? And the struggles of our ancestors, I wasn't born driving a Cadillac, and I promise you my dad wasn't. And I can guarantee you my grandfather wasn't. And so again, part of the programming that we're seeing in America, everything is a lie. Understand the struggles of those who came before us. Anybody want to pipe in on that? See, say, there you go, coach, you're getting racist. Well, you read it that way if you want to. I don't care. Frankly, my dear, I don't give a darn, all right? Truth is truth. It is what it is.
A lot of that didn't change till World War I happened.
Yeah, we don't have any idea of the horror of some of those child. Remember, why did they have to come up with child labor laws? Were those child labor laws, were they directed at black children or Chinese children? No. Kids built the economic machine in America. Children did. Sorry. White children did. We don't hear that anymore, do we? We don't want to hear that.
Yeah, I'm a grandchild of that generation.
So am I. Probably a great, at least a great-grandchild, maybe a grandchild. Go ahead.
Coach, the education system today across the U.S., college, grammar school, all of it, it has forgotten history. History is true whether you like it or not. You have to learn from history. And
they've rewritten it, Randy. They haven't forgotten it. They've rewritten it.
They've rewritten it. Yes, sir.
Nefarious reasons. It was done on purpose.
On purpose.
Comes back to the Tavistock and all that kind of stuff. And the stuff that we talk about, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, evil spirits in high places, and the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. So what we're seeing in America today is a battle against good and evil. And the evil, right? The evil seems to be in control of America. And the evil is in control of America because the righteous are not standing up and pushing back against the forces of darkness. Okay, are you sitting down? Are you sitting down? Well, I'm going to show you something that, listen, they're going to ban us on Facebook, okay? I'm sorry, YouTube. I'm just telling you, anytime we play a clip, they ban us on, I'm just telling you. I was up at my daughter's house a couple days ago. Pull up Billy, Jared Connor, pull up. It says Billy Eilish, Billy Eilish. Billy Eilish, I got to click on that. I was up at my daughter's house, and she said, "Dad, are you aware of Billy Eilish?" Now, I think I'm a pretty cutting edge guy. I'm pretty cutting edge, I think. Maybe not with the hip hop culture, maybe not with everything that's going on, but I understand how the devil and the devil's minions and how the devil's minions are working. And she said, "Well, Dad, are you aware of Billy Eilish?" And I said, "No, what are we talking about? Huh? What are you talking about?" She says, "Oh, yes. Billie Eilish is like a 14-year-old girl. She's out, got, Dad, she's got millions of views on YouTube." So what? So she pulls it up on her phone. Now, folks, I want you, before this is over, I want you to see this. Are you looking at your screen right now? Before we play this, folks, 365,837,824 views since October 25th. 2000, 365 million views. Who's watching this? Our kids are watching this. 365 million views in less than 1 year. Now they're going to ban us when I play this. This is called When the Party's Over. Hey, Jared, put it on double time. Just because the lyrics and all that stuff isn't important. I want people to see the work of the devil right out in the open. Jared, put a time. Yeah, okay. Folks, it's a song. She's singing a song. I don't care about the song. I want you to see the images. I want you to see what they're doing. 365 million views. Go ahead and play it.
Don't you know I'm no good for you? I've learned to lose, you can't afford to. Tore my shirt to stop you bleeding, but nothing ever stops you leaving. Going when I'm coming home, I'm on my own. I can lie, say I like it like that, like it like that.
I can lie. The words matter, but just look at the images. Watch the images. Go ahead.
Say I like it like that, like it like that. Don't you know too much already?
When the party is over.
I only heard you.
When the party is over is the name of this. Go ahead.
If you let me. Call me friend, but keep me closer. And I'll call you when the party's over. Why am I not coming home and I'm on my own? And I can lie, say I like it like that, like it like that. Yeah, I can lie, say I like it like that, like it like that. But nothing is better sometimes. Once we've both said our goodbyes, let's just let it go. Let me let you go. Quiet when I'm coming home and I'm on my own.
Shut it down. 65 million views, Jared. Go down here to the side. There's another one. It's called, so that you guys don't think I'm making it up. when the party's over, where you just watch 365 million views. The other one, Billie Eilish, Khalid Lovely, 451 million views. Young people are watching this stuff. This is the battle that we're up against, my friends. Demonic right out in the open. In fact, what was the one that Abby had me play yesterday? I can't even find it. Scroll down a minute, Connor. See if we can find another one of her. The one she, her greatest hits. Yeah, greatest hits. Billie Eilish. 365, 451 million views. You see that, folks? The devil is out of the bottle. He's out of the bottle, and our children are watching it. You with me? You understand what's going on? Do you understand why we're playing patty cake in church and arguing over the rapture and not the rapture and over once saved, always saved, while we're inside the church fighting back and forth over meaningless drivel, over Hebrew and hermeneutics and end-time theology? The devil is stealing our children. 451 million views. Some 14-year-old girl. Now, I'm going to ask yourself this. Do you think she did it on her own? You think Billie Eilish came up with this idea on her own? Do you think this imagery and these songs and these videos, you think she just kind of did it on her own in her basement like me? Or there are great forces of dark beyond what we can even imagine that is full bore after our children? They can't abort them. They're going to drug them. If they can't drug them, they're going to vaccinate them. If they can't vaccinate them, they're going to indoctrinate them in school. If they can't indoctrinate them in school, they're going to indoctrinate them through the media. If they can't indoctrinate them through the media, they're going to take them to the libraries and talk about homosex. Folks, the assault on the American child is at an all-time fever pitch. And those of us who carry the name of Christ, we are asleep in the light, baby. We're asleep in the light. Somebody rescue me here. Billie Eilish, 450 million views. By the way, Jared, I don't know if you even saw that. I got one of hers here. I'm going to do this real quick on my own computer. Because when you pull up one of her videos, the others pop up right beside it, of course. And she has a video right over here called, that's not it. Where was it, Lord? Where is it, Lord? I saw it, seeing it earlier. I just said to Michelle, look at this. Michelle, this thing has 45 million views, and it was just posted. There it is. Billie Eilish, All the Good Girls Go to Hell. Billie Eilish. And it's got the – do I have time? Can I take 2 minutes to send this to Connor? You got to see this. They've already banned us anyway. Hang on. They've already banned us anyway. Bear with me. You got to see this. I'm sending it right now. You have it? Huh? Okay, pull that thing up there, folks, because I want you to see this. The devil's at work. I'd have never known it. Thank you, Abby, for letting me know it. My daughter, Abby. What's the name of this one? All the Good Girls Go to Hell. All the Good Girls Go. Same thing. Hey, Connor, how many views on that baby? I'm playing it on mine. Mine says, hey, folks, here's what mine says. 52,743,095 views since September 4th. September 4th, 52 million views. Play it real quick, Connor. Turn the sound, turn the speed up. All the good girls go to hell. She's dressed as a black angel coming out of the pit. All the good girls go to hell. Fourteen-year-old girl came up with this on her own, didn't she? Yeah, she came up with this on her own. Boy, she's got a wild imagination, this girl. Uh-huh. The kings of this earth have conspired against the Lord and his anointed, fellas. That's what's going on. We better awaken, church. Better awaken, church! Billy Eilish, 54 million views since September 4th. That's not even 3 weeks. Let that sink in. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.